Welcome to Hope Central's latest podcast. Please check out our website, hopecentral.org.au, after this message for any further information. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you this morning, and it's a pleasure to actually be here and share with you. I've just flown down for the weekend to Adelaide to be with you, originally from Adelaide myself. But just here for the weekend to orientate your team that's going to Papua New Guinea and then be with you this morning, and then I head back to Cairns tomorrow morning. So as Steve said, my wife and I, we are suffering for Jesus in Cairns. Cairns is a beautiful part of the world, and we love living there. But from there, I travel 6 months of the year to different parts of the world, particularly India. 3 weeks ago, I got back from India, my wife and I. I've done a trip to the Philippines this year, also into Papua New Guinea. A lot of evangelism, a lot of discipleship work, a lot of training young people to do the work of ministry. We'll have a look at some photos a bit later on as I share the word that touches base with some of the application of what we're doing. So, yeah, but as I go, although whether you feel connected to me or not, you as a church are through your giving. And as a church, you've committed to help support Sondra and I in the needs that we have to the job that I have. There is no salary for that, so we have to raise all our own support and also raise all our own money to do all the travel that we do. So as a church, you have committed to help us survive and live and put food on my table for my children, and also to help with the travel costs for me to go and visit all these places and do ministry work. So even though you may not feel connected to me, I feel very connected through Joe and Jody to you as a church. And as I go, I am also part of your missions work, part of representing you as a church and representing the CRC as well. So thank you very much for your giving and your contributing and what you do. So thank you for that. I really, really do appreciate it. So we're going to have a look this morning about being intentional in missions. And so it's a missions message, it's about missions, and for me missions really is taking what the local church is in any particular culture and place and then taking that and reproducing that in another culture or another country. And some of you are going to look at me and say, well, I'm not a missionary, I don't have any desire to leave my comfortable place or where I am, so how is this going to be for me? But we're going to talk today about how each one of us in different ways can get involved in missions. So being intentional, that word intentional means to be deliberate, to do something on purpose, consciously, willfully, planned or premeditated, to do something with purpose. And that is me and my wife. And many, many years ago, some of you young people are saying a very, very long time ago, I didn't just wake up one morning with this lady next to me, this hot, gorgeous girl next to me in my bed and sort of introduce myself, okay, now we're married. There was intent, deliberate action by, I say her, she says me, about how we ended up married. And I saw her, she was beautiful and gorgeous, and I had to take steps to actually get to know her. I had to take steps to actually get to that place of taking this beautiful girl and actually having her become my wife. So I did lots of things on purpose. The two of us were running a youth group together at the time at the Christian Family Center at Seton. So I would work out that I would drop every single other person off and she would always be the last one that I dropped off. I don't know how I did it, but I would work it out that I got those last few minutes with her. We weren't dating or anything, but I just managed to work out how to do that. One time we were having a supper and she said, oh, I'll volunteer to cook the cakes. I said, yeah, I'll help. I hate cooking. I've never cooked a cake in my life. But I wanted to be there intentionally, deliberately trying to be with her with the purpose of getting her attention and that she would fall in love with me and we would end up married. And then obviously I had to go with the intent and purpose and get down on my knee one day and ask her to marry me. So being intentional is important. We're going to talk about being intentional. Early this year, I was in the Philippines and we were walking into the shopping center. In the shopping center, you go through a security check and they check your bag and they do like sort of pat you down a bit. And that's normal and they do that and intentionally, purposely go through that process. But this time I went through and things were a little bit different. I felt this hand on my bottom for a longer period of time than would be expected. And I'm thinking, what's happening? But this lady was showing me a little bit more interest and intent and desire than I'd actually wanted for. So doing the normal things okay, but she intentionally left her hand on my backside for a little bit longer than expected. But she had some intent in doing that. It wasn't sort of an accidental touch. There was a real deliberate purpose by what she was doing. So intent matters. Big intentional makes all the difference. A touch on my backside by accident is different to a long left hand there for a little bit longer, isn't it? So intent matters. So being intentional makes all the difference. It makes a big difference in our lives and in our actions and what we do. Let's have a look at a story in Luke chapter 8. It's the story of the woman with the bleeding problem. And you know the story. She had this bleeding problem for many, many years, about 12 years. She'd spent all her money on trying to get well. And the scriptures tell us that she realized, if I just touch Jesus, then I'll get healed. So she makes a plan, goes up to it, there's a big crowd around, and she reaches out to touch Jesus. The scriptures tell us that when she touched Jesus, Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" But you've got to realize Jesus is in a crowd. There's lots of people who touched him. Peter basically, I think, looks at him and rolls his eyes and says, "Jesus, come on. Everybody's touched you. I touched you. John touched you. Judas touched you. We've all touched you. What do you mean, who touched you?" But someone had touched him. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd and there's people touching all over. But Jesus was being touched by all these people. But this one lady, she touched Jesus. And it says in Luke 8, it says, "But Jesus said, 'No, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt the healing power go out from me.'" She touched deliberately. She touched with purpose. And it made all the difference. You know, when we do something deliberately, it makes all the difference. She had touched with faith. It was an act of faith. It was an intentional touch. It was a deliberate touch. She'd done it with intent. Everybody else touched Jesus, but they didn't get a miracle. They didn't get healed. But she did it deliberately and intentionally. So when we touch with purpose, when we do something purposefully, it makes all the difference. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Being intentional. The intentional, deliberate act of God for your salvation. It wasn't an accident that Jesus ended up on the cross. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. "This man was handed over to you." This is Peter preaching, talking about Jesus. "By God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because of it was impossible for death to hold him." Hallelujah. The deliberate, intentional plan of God for your salvation and my salvation. It didn't happen by accident. God had a plan of salvation for you and for me. And for me, missions is us actually going and sharing that deliberate, intentional plan of God for salvation. And maybe you're here today and you've come by the invitation of somebody, or you've rocked up here. I don't think you've rocked up here by accident. If you've come through those doors, you've come to hear about Christ. You've come to find out what church is about, what Jesus Christ is about. And you're here for a purpose. And you're here to hear the message of Jesus Christ, to experience His grace and His favor that is upon you. And I trust that you feel the presence and power of God in this place today. God is here so wonderfully and marvelously today. But God deliberately gave His Son so that we could be saved, so that we could receive salvation. So both this woman and the plan of God, they were both deliberate acts. So when we do something deliberately, it makes all the difference. So we're going to take that idea of intentional and being deliberate and move it into the idea of missions and how you and I can get involved. And sorry, Karen, was it? Catherine, sorry. I'm going to add some things to your list of things that you've got to get done every week and put a bit more of a burden on you. Now, please don't take this as a burden, as of things I must do this to be a good Christian. Here are three ideas of ways that you can get involved in missions. And I understand life is messy for all of us. My life is messy. But there's ways that we can get involved, practically get involved in mission. So don't see it as a thing that you've got to put on a list of things that you've got to do. But there's some ideas of ways that God may speak to you today that, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, I can be involved in missions in this way. So the idea of intentionally going. Jesus said to the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Okay, and when we say go, we think go means like what I do. Go to a different country, go to a different nation. And for some of you, that is what God is calling you to do. And maybe some of you young people, you feel a stirring in your heart and a desire to go to another nation and share the gospel. We've got about 10 or 12 going to Papua New Guinea in a couple of weeks' time. That is so exciting. Those guys are going to be such a blessing to the nation of PNG, where they go out, get out of Australia, go there. The guys that are going to work on the truck, Pastor Robert who's going to go and do children's ministry, they're going to run a children's seminar for children's workers, those that go out to the Bible schools and share in those Bible schools, they're going. They're leaving their place to go to another culture to share the gospel. So that is one aspect of going. But that word literally means as you go. So as you go. So let's bring it back to a little bit local. So some of you may go overseas, and I want to encourage you, if you thought about going this year to Papua New Guinea on the trip and you weren't able to, try and get yourself ready for next year, where you could join the team, talk to Steve about going to Papua New Guinea or somewhere else to do some missions work. But we need to, as you go, so what about here and now? As you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to the shops, as you're a mum, as you visit people, as you spend time with your family, what about sharing the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ there? And there's a guy named Philip in Acts chapter 8. He was going. Life was messy for him. I don't know if your life is messy, but life was messy for him. The church was under persecution, and because of that persecution, he's moving out of Jerusalem. His ministry colleague had just been murdered because he was a Christian. Stephen had just been murdered. Philip is moving out. It says there that they moved because of the persecution. They were going to get away from the persecution in Jerusalem. For me, if that was happening, I'd be trying to stay low. I think, maybe I won't preach. I'll just go and hide. I'll find a safe place. But it says here, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And then it says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there and has this great big revival. But life was messy. This is not the ideal time for him to be preaching the gospel. But he's grabbed hold of the salvation of Christ, the grace of Jesus Christ in his own life. And as he's going, he says, well, I've just got to keep preaching. His mate has just been killed. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to share the gospel. So maybe in your life, you're saying, oh, it's not the ideal time. I don't have everything sorted out. I don't have all my stuff together. I don't have it all right. I can't share with people. Let me encourage you. There is never an ideal time. We don't ever get everything all together. But you can share now. You can walk across the street and show some favor to somebody. Show the grace of God to somebody. As you're at the shops, you can share your grace. As you're at school, you can share the message of Jesus Christ with somebody or invite somebody to church. Maybe sharing and preaching, you think, man, that's just too much for me. You can bring someone to church. Invite somebody along. For Sandra and I to go, we had a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and we picked up all of our family and moved to Papua New Guinea. It didn't seem like the right time. In fact, I spent 2 years agonizing. God, you want me to be a missionary, but I've got a family, I've got young kids. How can I go? But God said, now is the time, go. So there is never really a right time. It's just as we go, as we do life. Let's share the message of Jesus Christ with people. And as you go, the scriptures tell us in Romans that you have beautiful feet. Tell the person next to you, you got beautiful feet. When we talk about beauty, we don't normally put beauty and feet together, do we? I was thinking on the way here on the car, I haven't seen any photos lately of them trying to sell cars or models with this, their feet up there. They show other parts of people's bodies and they put gorgeous women up there or they're handsome men. People don't check out someone's feet, do they, when they're checking a person out? You look at other parts. So feet are not the most beautiful part of our body. But Jesus says, when you go as you share the gospel, as you move out and talk to people about Jesus Christ, he says, you've got beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So you can have beautiful feet as you share, as you invite someone to church, as you just encourage somebody. It may take them years before they even come to church, but as you talk to your neighbor, share with people. So intentionally, deliberately go. You can intentionally pray. And this is how you can, everybody can do that. You can engage in missions. Luke chapter 10 verse 2 says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Maybe you could, as your act of intentionally doing something for missions, you could put aside 10 minutes a week where you could just say a few prayers for some people on the mission field. Say a few prayers for somebody who is working in the mission fields. And I'm going to show you some pictures of some people who are doing that type of work so that you can, when you pray, you can maybe put these people into your mind. And as I share about these, this is in India. In India, we have what we call the World Missions Faith Training School. And we have a school, this same school in Papua New Guinea in the Philippines. But this year, this was a couple of years ago, we had three graduates. This year, we're going to have about 10 that are graduating on the 10th of June. But those three, they graduated from this school. But you can pray for them. Sunati in the middle, Moaj on the left. But these two girls on the far right, Pastor Lisa and Roslyn, they are missionaries. She's from the Philippines. Pastor Lisa and Roslyn is from Fiji. She's a Fiji Indian. But they have both sown their life into serving in India. They're there running this school. They both have student visas. They're studying there but running the school at the same time. That's just from this year. This is the group of the girl students that are there. These are young people who come to our school. We train them for 2 years, and once they graduate, we then send them out and plant churches with them around different parts of India. So we've got four bases or four churches at the moment. On the left, in the middle, this guy's name is Diman, not Demon, but Diman. And he's one of our graduates, and 4 years ago he graduated, and now he pastors our church in a place called Tezpur in India. And his wife on the left is Seema. She is the first Christian in her family, ever. Like, as far back as she goes, they've all been Hindus for generations, and she's the first Christian. Now she's a pastor's wife, and they run a church together of about 40 people or so there in India. And all those people that have come to that church have come out of Hinduism or have been Muslims in the past. So, and when I was there just a couple of weeks ago, we did a baptism. So we baptized 10 people who have made it a commitment to follow Christ. This young girl, her family was Hindu, the one who's getting baptized. She was, and her father came into the church. The whole family came to church. They were coming to church happily for a couple of years. Then he decided, no, we're going back. So he tried to force her to actually go back to her idol worship. So she refused, left her family, married a Christian guy. But now they're back in the church and loving Jesus. So God's doing some stuff there. But you can pray for some of these people. That's most of the ones who got baptized. These couple of boys down the front didn't, but the rest of them are pretty much the group that got baptized there in Siliguri just a month ago. So it was a very privilege of mine to be able to be there to baptize them. But God's doing stuff around the world. And you can pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers. You can pray for the graduates that they would fulfill the call of God upon their life. In India, Philippines, Papua New Guinea, whatever nation God puts on your heart, do some research and find a way to send up some prayers. That's my beautiful wife on the left. But the second from the left is Lisa. And she and the two girls on the right, we sent them to a town called Jalpaiguri, right next to the Bangladesh border. We rented a house. We sent them there and said, you are planting a church here. So they went there with the intent to pioneer a church. The first time I went there, we had a Sunday service and nobody turned up. They said, sometimes people come, sometimes people don't come. So we prepared like everyone was coming and no one turned up. So we just sat there and just spent time with the group of us. But that night when I was there, this is last year, that night that I was there, this man turned up with by himself, and he said, my son is sick. My wife is out of her mind. We've sold everything to try and help our son. but we're going crazy. He says, I am suicidal. So I had the opportunity to pray with him. Prayed with him. He said, I need a Bengali Bible. I said, I'll try and get you one. And he ran out of the house. Just left. Didn't say goodbye. Didn't anything. Didn't stay for a cup of tea, which is cultural. He just took off. I said, come back tomorrow, as he was leaving. Come back tomorrow and I will and bring your son and I'll pray for your son. So the next morning he comes back with his son. And he's just had this heaviness lift off him. He's happy to sit. That photo is when he sat and had the cup of tea with us. And we got to pray with him again and share with him again. And by then I was able to get a Bengali Bible brought from our other base, which is an hour and a half bus ride across. But we had the Bible there to give to him that morning. And he's been reading that ever since. And just last year, November, we had the privilege, that's Pastor Barry, but we had the privilege to baptize him. So he is the first convert from that town in Jalpaiguri. But three young girls who are faithfully gone, people have prayed, they've shared the gospel, and it's changed this man's life forever. He was a Hindu who said that wasn't working, so he read the Quran, said that didn't help. Can I have a Bible? Maybe that'll help me. And it's transformed his life. After we gave him the Bible, he went home, read it every day, did Bible study. Now his wife's come to faith, his little boy comes, and he comes for service. And we were there just last month, and the little boy's there worshiping the Lord and singing praises to God. It's just amazing how the faith of those girls to go has seen lives change. These are real people whose lives are changed forever. So you can pray. Find a way to pray. And there's lots of different missionaries, lots of people doing lots of different things around the world. So just pray that the Lord would send out workers, because particularly India, there's 1.2 billion people and there's a lot of persecution against the Christians happening there at the moment. Intentionally give. This is the third one. Being intentionally as you give. In Luke chapter 21, there's a story of a lady who has two little coins. There are only two little coins, but she gives it. And God, Jesus honors her and says, see that lady, she gave all that she had. All these others with lots of poured in their money to get attention. But this lady, just humbly, quietly, has just come and put in her little bit. And God notices it. God notices the little bit that we put in. But we need to be intentional in our giving. If you look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says this, You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So be a cheerful giver. That's an intentional thing. It's deliberate. You don't give a missions offering or give accidentally. It's intentional. It's not pressured, but it's actually say, okay, yeah, I'm going to put aside some funds to give. And this story goes on and this passage goes on and it talks about the result of their giving, because the Jerusalem church at this time was poor and they were struggling and they needed some finance. So Paul's writing to them, prepare yourself, collect up an offering that you can give to help these others. And it says that there that two things happen. Two things happen when you give. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met. So as you give to missions, you are meeting the spiritual need of people in other nations. Well, you can be involved that way. You may not be able to go. You may shoot up some prayers. But as you give, you're meeting the spiritual needs of people in another nation. We couldn't do what we do in India or the Philippines, even some of the work in Papua New Guinea now. We couldn't do that without the generous giving of those Christians around the world. And here in Australia, we give so much into missions to see the work of Jesus Christ continue in other nations. It's who we are as CRC. So we meet people's needs. And then it says there that, and that they will joyfully express their thankfulness to God. And I have seen that as we've delivered finance that have been given from people in Australia or we've met needs, we've seen people rejoice in God that someone in another country is praying for them, is meeting their need, is looking out for them. So you can cause joy to happen in another country even though you can't go there yourself. So let's be intentional in our giving as well. And I'll give a plug to what Steve said earlier, that your coins that you're collecting up, that is going to be such a blessing. The team that is coming up to work on that truck is going to be such a blessing and change lives of young children that live in settlement areas. They live in poverty. That truck will go out. At the moment they go out, the team goes out and they just put down a blue tarpaulin and they sit on that tarpaulin and they run school there for them. But this truck is going to mean that they have basically a classroom. They have more resources available to them. So as you give to help us get that project up and running, you're going to bring joy to those children's lives. You're going to change their lives. Some of them may become Christians, they may not, but you'll change their lives forever as they learn to read and write. So I want to encourage you, not for out of pressure, but out of just the joy of being able to give. Yeah, I can give my bit. I can add something in. I can contribute to that project. And there's many other things that you can give to towards missions as well as a church as you do. So let's finish off with one last story. And I've been reading a book over the last few months of a bit of the church history, and this story comes from about between 400 and 425 AD, and it's the time where the Roman Empire is on its way down. It's on its way out, so it's struggling, and the Persian Empire is strong, and the Persian Empire is basically persecuting the Christians. The Persian king has a deliberate, intentional plan to destroy the church and persecute Christians. And so the Roman Empire at that time, he has a Christian faith, so he says, this is not good, I'm going to go out. So he goes out and attacks the Persian people, pushes them right back, and takes many of them captive. So they've got all these prisoners of war who are Persian, who have been these people that have been persecuting them. Then the bishop of the town out, the people out there in the east of the Roman Empire, he says, he sees the condition that they are in. And he says, well, what can we do? They have their gold cup for communion and their plates and all these things. He puts out an order and he tells all the churches, get your gold cups, get all those things from your table that we use for the sack for communion and all these things. Bring that in. We're going to melt it down and we are going to buy these people. We're going to buy them out of slavery. We're going to pay the ransom for them so that someone else doesn't buy them. So they took their gold. They collected it all up, purchased these people, brought them into the church, fed them, resourced them, looked after them, and then paid for them to go back to Persia. And as I read that, I just thought, man, that is amazing. What an impressive bishop. What an impressive man who's got a heart for people. These people that had been persecuting them, these people that had been caused so many of their churches pain and agony and suffering, he was willing to love them, to give intentionally, do something for them, to bless them and to send them back. I mean, because of this act, the Persian king saw it and wanted to meet with him. They talked and the Persian king stopped persecuting all the Christians. But an act of kindness, an act of giving, a deliberate choice. He had a choice. I mean, most of us are going, oh man, they've hurt us. They've hurt our people. They've worked against us. They get what they deserve. Maybe God's punishing them because of their actions. But he took action. You know what? That's what Christ has done for you and me, hasn't he? That even though we were rebellious towards him, even though we were far from him, even though we were doing things that were hurting him, God gave his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and me, gave his very best. He died on a cross, was buried in a ground, and rose back to life in victory and power so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and that we could walk in that victory, live in that victory. And our response to that is to be generous, to generously give, to be involved in missions in whatever way that you can. Let's pray together. Ask the musicians to come. Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus. Father, I just pray as I've shared this morning that each one of us will look at how we can engage with missions, whether we're deeply involved already or we're not involved at all. But Lord, I just pray that in the midst of all of that, you can speak to each one of us about what we can do to see your kingdom expanded on this planet, that what we can each one collect corporately but individually do to contribute, intentionally and deliberately contribute to the expansion of your kingdom on this earth. Father, we are so thankful for our own salvation. And out of response to that, we just want to show that love to those who don't know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you feel God has spoken to you through this series, or if you have any prayer requests, please email us through our website, hopecentral.org.au.